This week, Southern Nevada business leaders will do what they've been doing once a year for more than 40 years. They'll gather to listen to experts who will try to look into the future to see where the economy's going. And this year, probably more than in most other years, they'll be talking about an economic factor that few have any control over, and that's water. Water, or the dwindling supply of it as Lake Mead keeps shrinking in this record drought, is a major concern for the livelihood of Nevada and six other states, some 40 million people that rely on that water. The event is called Perspective. It's held by the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance, and Tina Quigley is the president and CEO of LVGEA. Tina, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Joe. You know, I always enjoy being with you on this show.
It's great to have you here. So, Tina, put the perspective into context. Why is this so important? What's the message that's going to be delivered this year?
Sure. So every year, the LVGEA hosts this very large event wherein we have somebody from Applied Analysis, this year Brian Gordon, talking to us about what we can expect and what we've seen in terms of economic trends. But this year, we also wanted to focus on economic sustainability for our region. And sustainability in this case meaning that we are taking a look at those resources we are going to need to be long-term sustainable. And as you mentioned in the intro, water is one of those items that we really need to be talking about, being prudent with, being as responsible as we can in conservation to make sure that we have the supply to carry us forward in our economic development sustainability. Other issues that we'll address at Perspective tomorrow will be Dr. Pollard from Nevada State College will talk to us about workforce, the importance of workforce and talent development in attracting and retaining and growing businesses, healthy businesses in our region.
Well, that's always been, I want to get to water, but I do want to talk about workforce development. Yeah. That's always been an issue here.
Yeah.
Especially as Southern Nevada and Northern Nevada have tried to diversify into technological areas, mm-hmm. High tech. What can you tell me about that? Like where is it right now? How healthy is workforce development and some of those higher paying, higher tech
higher
jobs?
Scale, higher wage jobs. Yeah. So technology is actually a part at this point of probably every industry that exists. So, you know, we say technology as if it's something very, very special just to those sitting, you know, at a computer, but actually, something like advanced manufacturing wherein you're working with higher tech equipment that may require some higher skills, some coding skills, maybe some operating skills. Those jobs require technology. They also require training for that technology. So there's a real emphasis right now with our workforce development groups in reaching out with industries that are here right now or are in our pipeline, those industries that are looking to move to Southern Nevada, and we know that because they've contacted us and they're taking a look, and truly understanding, you know, at a granular, laser-focused level, what types of certificates do you need? What type of equipment are you operating? What type of degree programs do you need? So that way we have that true alignment between a workforce pipeline and the industries who are looking to grow and relocate here. And that's the only way that we're ever really going to be able to continue to be prosperous. Higher ed and lower ed, we've always known, are really important to the quality of life of environment, of a community. But as you look to those regions that I look to as being successful, like a Phoenix, a Denver, a Salt Lake, you can see that over the past 30 years, there has been complete alignment between their education systems and their businesses in creating that synergy.
This week, the LVGEA will host its annual Perspective event at M Resort. Perspective is billed as the region's top source for community and economic development, analysis, and forecasting. And though it has been happening for decades, this year the focus will be on sustainability. And two prongs of that are workforce development and really a concern that is growing in importance, water. Mm-hmm. Tina Quigley is president and CEO of the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance. So, Tina, as we mentioned earlier, you've served as foundation chair of the Desert Research Institute, CEO of the Regional Transportation Commission of Southern Nevada, and director of construction and engineering at Harry Reid International Airport. With that kind of background, you have a broad view of the health of the Southern Nevada economy. So how is the Southern Nevada economy right now? How would you characterize it?
I would say that it's at a moment of reflection where we really want to be intentional about the types of businesses that we are attracting to our region. And that being one, we've talked about them, the fact that we need to be laser focused on that workforce that we really want to be, the businesses we want to be attracting and creating the workforce that for them. The other is water, as you mentioned. It is something that we have to address and we have to be prudent with. So being very intentional in terms of the types of businesses we want to grow here and to be attracted to here. And by that, I mean, we want to be really careful to not be offering something like tax incentives or tax abatements to high water users. We should not be incentivizing anybody who is going to be consuming more than their fair share, more than a certain number. Working on a ratio. Should we have a ratio of number of gallons per employee? Should we have a number of gallons per acre? Working on what a threshold ratio is for the type of businesses that we want to attract. And then land, of the fact that John Restrepo, economist in town, will tell you we only have about 8 years worth of employment-based land in terms of our supply if we were to continue growing at the rates that we're growing. So I think we're at a moment of inflection. Is like, who are we right now? What do we want to be in the next 30 years? And I encourage us to think about 30 years, not just 5, 10, et cetera. Because again, in studying those other regions, like a phoenix, you know, remember, I don't know if you remember when we were in college, but Joe, you and I are of that genre where ASU is the biggest party school in the United States, right? Well, when you think of ASU now, you don't think of the biggest party school. You think of they are pumping out engineers. They are pumping out workforce that is attracting businesses to their region. But that took 30 years to do. And likewise, Denver, they in the 80s, they suffered through an economic crisis. And it took them, there were now 40 years out of that it took them to really become the place that they are, where businesses are wanting to go to. High quality, high wage jobs, and people want to move there. So.
So you touched on several things there.
Yeah, sorry, that was a monologue, wasn't it?
you touched on the need for land here, workforce development. I'm going to go back to water for a minute.
Sure.
I wonder, you said essentially that we don't want to attract high water users to this region. How large of a mind shift is that for the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance and your counterparts in other
sure.
Western states that are watching Lake Mead?
Yeah, I mean, it is certainly a topic. Now, we are solely reliant, for the most part, on the Colorado River. So for us, it's become top of mind sooner than for other regions. So Phoenix does rely on the Colorado to some extent, but they also have some natural aquifers that they have. So it's not just the Colorado. We are solely reliant on the Colorado. And we are so lucky to have had some pretty ballsy decision makers back when Pat Mulray was at the Water Authority and with her team to build that third straw, so that way we...
You're talking about the third straw.
Third straw
it was
the,
built several hundred million dollars. It's basically a drain at the bottom of the lake. So when the water can no longer get through the dam, we still have water.
Screw everybody else downstream. We've still got it. But we actually, and kudos to that SNWA, just so that you know, and you've probably had them on before. They do have one of the highest rated water security plans in the world, because the goal is certainly that we have to reduce our consumption, and assuming that we can reduce our consumption to the thresholds that they've identified, we have water security. So LVGEA's role becomes really to meter the types of companies that we're attracting.
You know, we had Pat Mulray on a few weeks ago.
And I love her.
She, as you mentioned, worked decades as head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority. She brokered water deals between seven states. As you said, you know, very strong person.
Yeah.
Strong but malleable. You know, you have to be to broker these deals.
Yeah.
But she very clearly said, we cannot conserve our way out of this. She said we need new water sources. She stressed the need for desalination in California, but California only has a dozen desal plants right now. Huntington Beach regulators just rejected what would have been a major plant that had been studied for 20 years. It would have produced 100 million gallons of drinking water a day. If the very survival of Las Vegas, and I'm not saying that, I'm saying that very seriously,
yeah.
depends on water. What does the LVGEA want to do? What can business leaders here do, really, I guess, in regard to influencing California, if desal is the way to go, or is the LVGEA thinking about how it is going to try to influence California?
Wow, that's a bigger conversation than just me and just right now. I'm sure Pat shared with you that there have been conversations wherein Nevada, Southern Nevada, would help fund some of those desalinizations or those infrastructure projects in California.
Almost $1 billion right now we're helping fund Los Angeles to recycle water.
I think you might have already answered the question for
me. That's just for recycling.
So I think LVGA's role, most importantly, is to be able to stay connected to Southern Nevada Water Authority, to stay connected to the cities and municipalities, and also the chamber in understanding and kind of reaching this, collaboratively understanding the problem, collaboratively helping to move forward. In this place, the only thing that we can move forward is conservation, promoting conservation. It's really going to be people bigger than me that'll make those big infrastructure.
But do you talk to John Ensminger, SNWA head?
I talk to him and Dave Johnson regularly.
About negotiating for desal plants in California?
They've informed me of that, but they're awesome. They're very, very good communicators and sharing kind of what's going on. But
is it happening?
Again, you're going to have to talk to them.
Oh, okay.
I know that it is something they talk about, and they talk with regularly with their partners here in the Southwest.
So another prong you talked about, it was land. People think we have land everywhere, but people who just moved here might not know that the Bureau of Land Management has control of the land all around Las Vegas. We're basically locked in by federal lands. So you've said at our current growth rate, we have only an 8-year supply of land for growth, homes.
For employment-based businesses. Based, yeah, okay. That doesn't count the residential
But what does it mean, though? Does that mean at 8 years without additional land, we stop growing?
I think that if we had no additional land and we continue to consume it at the rate that we've been consuming it, that is going to put pressure on us to probably take a look at infill, to take a look at opportunities that we have to rebuild ourselves internally. And that's not all bad, but it also limits the type of employment that you can bring in.
For a long time in Southern Nevada, lawmakers, policymakers said if we don't grow, we die. I mean, we have casinos, tourists come back time to time to go to casinos, and it makes you think about the rest of the economy. Is it because we have to grow, is it because we don't really produce anything? We don't make screws or cars or widgets, daily necessities, that all we have is growth, homes, malls, that if we don't keep building our economy?
No, I want to frame it like this. Okay. I love this analogy. So a local economy is a lot like a bucket of money. And inside that bucket, the money is swirling around between the daycare center and the grocery store and the gas station, et cetera. But every local economy also has a hole in its bucket. It's a leaky bucket because every time you buy something that wasn't manufactured here in your community, that money has leaked out and gone to somebody else's community. We've actually got a pretty big hole, or maybe multiple holes, because we don't grow anything here. We don't really manufacture much here. So we got money leaking out of our bucket. We've been very blessed to have this huge spigot of money in the form of a spigot coming from leisure and hospitality that has continued to fill up that bucket, so it's okay for us to have those leaks. The only problem is that when it goes through boom and bust cycles, as it has, we as a community really become affected. That's when, we lose our friends. I've lost friends through some of our bust cycles who have had to leave the state because of that. Our family loses their jobs. So LVGEA's role really is to try and bring in additional spigots that are diversified from leisure and hospitality. And so, yes, to answer your question, the role that to have a prosperous economy, there's a couple of things you need. One, you need those spigots continuing to fill up your bucket. You also have to have slowly but surely increasing wage rates. And that is the recipe for a prosperous economy.
When we've talked about water, one more time here on this program, people call in and say, we have to stop growing until we get the water thing figured out. Is anybody in the business sector thinking that way?
No. I understand. I totally understand the the logic behind that. We just have to stop growing. You cannot, there's no such thing as a stagnant economy. There's no such thing as a bucket of money that just is stagnant. You are either slowly but surely escalating your prosperity, or you are slowly but surely declining. Not having growth is not an option. Now, I think they're talking about physical, they're talking about the footprint growth, but stopping economic growth, stopping people from moving here, stopping businesses from moving here or growing here is not an option.
I'm talking to Tina Quigley, who earlier this year was named the president and CEO of the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance, and we're talking about the 42nd annual Las Vegas Perspective. It's scheduled for Thursday at the M Resort, and it's billed as the region's top source for community and economic development, analysis, and forecasting. It's really a significant gathering for business and community leaders throughout the region, and this year their focus is sustainability. A lot of that has to do with a sustainable workforce, and also something that most people in Las Vegas are very aware of, water. Speaking of workforce, how is it right now? During the pandemic, businesses could not find people to work. Has that need declined? Are they finding ample people to work, even in specialized jobs?
Wow. So there's so much behind that. You're right. Some of the economics just do not make sense to us. We know that there are about 30,000 jobs that did not come back within the hospitality and leisure service industry. And yet we do know that even though there are upskilling opportunities available, it is still really difficult to get workers into, like some of our, paired up with some of our advanced manufacturing businesses in town. So yeah, it's interesting, right? There should be a surplus of workers, but when you go out in the field and you actually talk one-on-one with businesses here in Southern Nevada, they are all struggling for workforce. And I just one more thing. I've recently attended, heard a national economist speak, and he was saying there was a time when economic development authorities like the LVGEA were responsible for jobs, get jobs here into your community. It has shifted. These economic development agencies are now really tasked with workers. Get workers, get them skilled, get them prepared. That's how you attract businesses.
By the way, before we go, I've got to ask you about something. Last time we had you on, I hadn't realized that there had been an ethics complaint regarding your previous employment. Let me just go a little bit into that. You're now the head of the LVGEA. For several years now, departed from your previous job as the head of the RTC. But when you were the head of the RTC, Nevada was trying to decide who to give authority to build a high-speed rail between Nevada and California. You were on that panel of deciders. That was 2015, and your panel picked Express West.
Yeah.
In June of 2019, Virgin Trains USA purchased Express West and offered you a job. You left the RTC. You took that job. And in October of that same year, an unsuccessful high-speed train applicant filed an ethics complaint alleging you violated the state's cooling-off period and a law that forbids a former government official from using their influence to get a job in the private sector. First of all, what was your reaction when you learned
that? So one of my friends told me one time, so you've never really been in business until you've been sued, and you've never really led government until you've had an ethics complaint. Of course, my friend is an attorney, so that works out well for him. But it was uncomfortable. But I get the fact that, yes, this person was extremely angry that that panel did not pick his technology. It was an unvetted, unproven technology, and there are other reasons. But, as you saw, Ethics Commission dismissed it. Uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, I could see that. You know, the commission found that there was sufficient evidence to support a determination that just and sufficient cause exists to refer the allegations for further proceedings. But instead of a hearing, you signed an agreement basically recognizing that ethics law should forbid you from seeking a private sector job based on your government. Was that an admission of guilt? What was that?
No, that was a decision. Do you want to keep going with this, or you just want to wrap it up?
Okay. And the complaint, again, was dismissed. You agreed to ethics training. Your agreement cited mitigating factors, including your lack of past violations. How did the experience frame your approach moving forward? How did it change you?
I don't think it did at all. I guess I'd have to give that some thought. I don't think it had any impact.
Tina Quigley, Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance President, CEO, and the LVGEA is having its annual forum on the economy tomorrow. It's at the M Resort. Tina, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.